Monday evening. Welcome to the Monday evening show, the Wild Card Show with Winfrey. He's located in Sedona, Arizona. My name is Gijs Minderhout, located in Los Molinos, California. Today it is December the 7th, 2020. Getting close to the end of the year. So I welcome you all and let's see what's going to happen tonight. We have had several weeks where our friend Lauren, who is a daily participant pretty much with our whole planet healing call, that he shared some of his information. And he hasn't gotten every time that much time to share information. Hopefully he will get some more time to talk about the things that he has information about that we might be interested in. And as we wait, as usual, this is a conference call, a simulcast with a conference call. And let me see if I can play a song, one of Win his songs, as we wait for people to join in. Again, happy Monday. Oh, yeah, Recycle Pain over here. Good evening. Welcome to the conference call. Please say your name and location.
Hi, it's Joy from Squim, Washington.
Joy from Squim. Welcome.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you for being here. And the next caller, welcome to you. Please say your name and location.
Hello, hi. It's Jane in Pennsylvania.
Welcome, hi, Jane.
Hi.
Thank Jane you. And Joy. And someone else joined in. Welcome to you. Please say your name and location.
Hello, hi, isn't everybody? Shirley from Ohio.
Welcome.
Hello,
Shirley. Good evening.
Hi, Shirley.
So we're a slim crew, right, so far? You weren't there. Yesterday, I told the people who were on at the time that I'm keeping my Phyllis as my legal name, but I'm changing for family and friends and business associates. I'm changing it to Joy.
No, or some. I love it.
Thank
I love
you.
It.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thanks.
You are Joy.
You are Joy.
Bless your heart. Thank you.
Yeah.
You know, like how in India they give you your Dharmananda name, and that's so that every
yeah.
time you hear that name, you remember that that's what you're supposed to be in life.
Yes.
Right.
So I figured, well, you know, I most of the time I am, but there are some times when I start to forget.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great.
I'm feeling brave.
Yes. Bless your heart.
Thank you.
So you're not going to do it legally yet, but someday
no,
you may.
No, I don't think I ever will change it legally. It's just too much of a hassle.
You might if you like reapply for stuff. You might be able to add Joy to it. Good evening. Welcome to the conference call. Please say your name and location.
Hi, it's Cecil in Seattle.
Hello,
Cecil.
Cecil. Welcome.
Hi, Cecil.
Hi, family.
Hi, Cecil.
Hey.
And to those that have joined in online through BBS Radio, good evening to you. Welcome. The Monday evening Wildcard Show with Winfrey. Let's wait and see what's going to happen. How wild the card is going to be tonight. Welcome to the next caller. Please say your name and location.
Hi, it's Jennifer from Greensburg.
Hi, welcome, Jennifer.
Hi, Jennifer.
Thank you.
Hi,
everyone.
That sounded like a Phyllis laugh.
Yep.
No, it's a Joy laugh.
Is that Joy now?
Yeah, Cecil, you missed. I'm changing my name. Joy.
Ah, okay. Well, that's a good name.
Thanks.
I like it.
Oh, thank you.
And we're all like you, Phyllis, because we are Joy. La, 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 la.
Yes.
Good evening. Welcome to the conference call. Please say your name and location. But of course, only if you want to, we welcome you.
That's why I keep calling into this number.
Because we welcome you?
You know, because it's so joyful.
That's
all
good.
Right. Good.
And welcome to the next caller. Thank you for being here. Good evening. Welcome to the conference call. Please say your name and location.
Roger in Austin.
Good evening, Roger.
Hi, Roger.
Welcome.
Hi, Roger.
Hi, everybody.
Hi, Roger. Hi. Welcome to the conference call. Please say your name and location. But of course, only if you want to, we welcome you.
Hi, I want to thank you for how you stepped in and how you're guiding the calls these days with Wynn.
Well, thank you, Phyllis. I mean, Joy. Yeah.
You're doing a great
yeah,
job.
Yeah, yeah.
You are. But one night, oh my gosh, your invocation is so beautiful, in particular, this one night. They're always beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my gosh, it touched my heart. Yeah, beautiful, beautiful job.
Well, thank you. Thank you. And someone else joined in. Welcome. Please say your name and location.
Hi, guys. It's Jeannie in Citrus Heights.
Hi, Jeannie.
Hello. Hi, everybody.
Hello, Jeannie. Welcome.
Thank you.
I can just feel
thank
when
you, for being
you
here.
Speak like that. Hi, I can feel you. It's like, oh, my goodness. You just, it's beautiful.
It's real.
What is
it's
it?
Authentic.
Yes. Yes. From your heart of hearts. That's what touches me so much. Beautiful. Beautiful.
Well, I'm very glad to hear that. Appreciate it.
And it's lovely to, even the little bit I do, it's nice to help out. You know, you do a wonderful job. Because poor Wynn, he can't do it all by himself.
Right.
A lot. Yeah, a lot. And when you step in, we don't miss a beat.
Mm-hmm.
Good.
Well, hi, you ought to see the hole I've got in my front yard.
Oh, yeah?
Oh,
super
yeah.
Deep?
Yeah, about 8 feet deep and about 3 feet wide and 8 feet long.
Oh, man.
I used to live in the country, and we had our water pipe break like that. Oh, my gosh. Mm. It's just a mess. And what a pain in the rear it is to be with no water.
We've been without water, without any sewer for about 3 days, and so we're like camping out here, and there's no fun.
Right. Oh, man.
That's exactly what it's like. You're camping in your house.
Yeah.
Man, do you have a porta potty or something?
I had to get a 5-gallon can and put an extra toilet seat on it.
Yeah.
Wow.
Something, yeah. Yeah, for poor Betty.
Yeah. Well, and she keeps flushing the toilet. She just doesn't understand.
Congratulations.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
I'm not sure what you're going for.
I'm going for you.
Oh.
Hi. Hi.
Yes.
Hi.
May I ask how your girlfriend is, Tanya?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, you mean right now with her? She's got a fever back this morning, actually. She slept many hours. She brought her sister to the dialysis. She had to be there at 6 a.m. And after that, she came back home and she went to bed and she woke up mid-afternoon. She had the fever again and still her headache.
Temperatures tend to go up in the afternoon. Also.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah.
But she's got something going on there.
She said she went to the she went to the candy store last week, and the one working there was like coughing with his mask on, and had his eyes were tearing, so watery eyes. So she was like, "Oh, I gotta get out of the store." And she thinks that she picked it up, but whatever.
Yeah, I'll just keep an eye on.
Not like
her.
Any fun at all.
Mm-mm. That is not funny.
Oh, hi, Terry.
Terry, welcome.
Hi, Terry. Hello.
Sorry, you're through the back door.
Did Wynn come in yet?
No, he's not.
He's just lurking like you.
You were lurking.
Lurking. Welcome to the conference call. Please say your name and location.
Hi, it's Terry in Nevada.
Hey, Terry in Nevada. Welcome.
Hi, Terry.
One, two, three, four. Somebody has a background. Let's see, who is this? One, two, three, one, two, three. I can't detect it.
Yeah, it went away.
Yes, yeah. Apparently so,
you
yes.
Got it. Yeah, you got it.
Yeah, I'm having all kinds of little fun over here. The battery on my heart monitor went on me, so I had to recharge it. And when I put it back on, it didn't work.
Oh, no.
Oh, man.
Oh, my goodness. You had a really good day. Wow.
My wife got up in the middle of the night and stayed up all night. Would not go
welcome back to sleep. Welcome to the next caller. Appreciate your name and location.
Hi, Janine from Salt Lake City.
Good evening, Janine. Welcome.
Hi, thank you.
Hi, Janine.
Hi, everybody.
And the next caller, we welcome you. Please say your name and location.
Hi, this is Joni in St. Louis.
Welcome, Joni.
Hi, Joni.
Hi.
Hi, Joni.
Hi.
And two more people tuned in. Welcome. Please say your name and location.
Hi, it's Wynn.
Welcome, Wynn.
Hi, Wynn.
Hi, Wynn.
Hi, Wynn.
Hi, Wynn.
Hello, Wynn. Wanda from Canada.
Welcome,
hi, Wanda.
Hi, Wanda.
Hi, Wanda.
Hi, Wanda.
Hello, everyone.
So we have six ladies here whose first name starts with a J.
Oh.
Is it significant? Joy, Jane, Jennifer, Jeannie, Janine, and Julie.
Oh, my God. It sounds like a singing group.
Six and only one height.
Only one height. That's right.
But it is the J from Joy, let me tell you.
Why, thank you. Great lady.
Well, and if you just joined in online through BBS Radio, we welcome you to the Monday evening Wildcard Show with Wynn Free.
And you know what? I'm playing a replay tonight. And,
whatever.
And this was one of those classic nights where I told the story of...
Don in Northern Ohio. Everybody, I win.
Hi, Don.
Welcome, Don.
Hi, Don.
Everybody.
Hi, Don.
You know, we have this idea that we have loads of wanderers in this realm, people that came in from higher dimensions like you guys to make a difference here. And there was this famous science fiction writer that I discovered. What's his name? Who remembers his name?
Philip Dick.
Philip Dick. Philip Dick.
Yeah.
Philip Dick. And it turns out he was talking to the Elohim, and he wrote something that was amazing on wanderers. He didn't use the word wanderers. He used the word plural forms of light. And early on, I was trying to figure out. I should record this, right?
Yeah.
The recording has started.
This is 12/7/2020, Wynn and Terry in Sedona, and I'm going to do a classic replay tonight. There's a famous science fiction writer who he wrote stories in trashy science fiction magazines in the 60s, maybe the 70s. How many of you remember Astounding and things like that? They used to sell them in supermarkets next to the National Enquirer. And so he was one of... Pardon me? You remember?
Nope.
Okay.
What is it?
All right. So he used to write stories for them, and he just eked out a living most of his life. He was a very eccentric guy. When, after he died, his stories got into being major movies. I believe the first one was Blade Runner, and then Minority Report. And, of course, he never made the money while he was alive. But I was searching the word Elohim, and I came up with a page from his journal where he was talking about wanderers and mentioned the word Elohim. I did a channeling about it. They said he was in connection with them, okay? And so this blew my mind when I discovered it. I read the excerpt from his notebook, okay? And Carla is on the line with me, and she's making comments. So here we go. Uh-oh. Clicked the wrong thing. Hang on. I think I did.
So we have 40 minutes left right now, Wynn.
I know.
And I get the console open in case you were secondary.
Muted.
And the things are off, by the way.
Thank you.
All right, this is January 7th, 2000. Voice that's identifying itself in the supermarket checkout, you know, next to the National Enquirer. Was he schizophrenic?
That they were seeking. Don was the most serious seeker I've ever known. But that they were learned in philosophy and in the various offshoots of philosophy that we can call religion.
Mm-hmm.
The old religions that we don't see much anymore. The trying to think what they're called. Having trouble with words. But there was a tremendous amount of energy in people who believed in gnosis or pure insight.
Mm-hmm.
Which is very well, very much connected to anamnesis. I will say the word right.
That word again.
Yeah, it's just that the belief here for Dick was, and also for Plato, that I mean, he was working with Plato's work when he said this, that there was a knowledge of everything that was available to us, but that we had forgotten because of the shock of birth into this realm. And he felt he was more a midwife than a philosopher. He was helping people remember what they already knew.
Yeah, are you talking about Plato? Don Plato.
I was talking about Plato. So that belief fueled the religion that I'm not being that I'm not remembering right now. Zoroastrianism. There we go.
Right. Okay. Terry, before
yes.
When I read that stuff about Philip Dick, did you have any? Now you're so good. I'm sure you never did drugs, right? Okay, you don't have to. But don't admit to it.
That's a legal question.
Yeah.
Did the story of Philip Dick having that kind of mystical experience? Did you ever have an experience like that that was memorable?
Well, I have experiences, like even now, where like the density of light really increases, and it's like everything shines like jewels. Like when they
know exactly that everything is okay, it all makes sense. You know, that's a wonderful part of my vision. It's just that knowledge that all is well.
Yes. It is.
I love that.
No matter what's going on.
So everything is jewel-like. I interrupt you. Go ahead.
I did a lot of work on myself for about 50 years to be able to distinguish, like, if I would hear voices, what was it? Was it from my mind? Or was it from something from outside? Was it a visiting ghost? Exactly what was it? I spent a lot of time learning to tune myself so that I got a lot of discernment about what was going on. And when I hear about Philip Dick, it sounded like he was getting a lot of phenomena, and he was cutting through reality and getting insights from the higher realm.
Yeah.
Well, in this section of Philip Dick that I am going to read tonight, before I read it, I want to go back to one of the underpinnings of the raw material from Carla Ruckert. This is what really struck me. This is what gave me my aha experience. This is what started to move in my gut to say, when this is real, because it was hard to integrate it as being real. I mean, it was so outside of everything. You know, originally I was thinking about New Age, and I identified with being New Age and everything we should all be loving with each other. And now I'm learning about this battle, I won't say battle, but this reality system where dark and light, there's negative and positive, vying for energetic God, I say the wrong. I want to say dominancy, but it's not the right word. But
control?
Because it's control. It's not control. Well, the positive doesn't vie for control. It so much as it infiltrates the realm, and it's kind of like if you are in a dark room and you turn on the light, the dark can't help but get lit up. Except it usually goes out again as soon as the light goes off. It hasn't learned to hold the light on, but it feels the light when it goes on. Well, in Carla's cosmology, in the raw material, there was this explanation that this realm was fairly screwed up, and fairly under the control of the negative, and that there was only one way to remedy this situation, and that was that there had to be volunteers from the higher realms who would come into this realm knowing that when they got here, they would forget why they came, and they would fall into, 90% of them, according to the raw material, they would fall into the darkness of the realm. They get caught back up in reincarnation, and maybe 10% of them were able to integrate their reason for being here. And even my guess is even the 10% that were able to be of service, only a small portion of them got a full gestalt of why they were here. And the rest of them were artists, were hotel concierges, paramedic drivers, and that they, you know, people that could hold space in this realm from higher dimensions and didn't even know they were doing it. They didn't even understand it. And they were called wanderers in the raw material. And then the Elohim said that some of their legions came into this realm, and for the same purpose, usually. And again, they would get caught up in the realm, and they would lose their reason for being here, and oftentimes they would become negative. They would be the controllers in this realm because they were powerful. And so, but if no one ever came to this realm, the realm would be like handing the whole realm over to the negative. Now, I was first exposed to that idea, I guess, through David Wilcock and the Carla Ruckert material. And I said, can this be real? Now, I'm going to tell you who are listening. If you've been coming into our calls and you keep coming back and you say there's something to that and you feel these connections, I would very strongly suggest that you are one of those people. And being one of those people doesn't mean that you're exalted. Because you graduated this realm and you come back, it's not like everyone says, oh, thank goodness somebody came back from the other side. We've been waiting for you. You're usually discarded. You're made fun of. You're crazy. And you end up like Philip Dick, living his life half crazy and being a genius writing these things. Well, in 1978, before the raw material came out, I don't know if any, Carla, had anyone ever, before you did the raw material, had anyone addressed the idea of wanderers that came in from higher realms? Are you there, Carla? Hello, Carla. Why do I not hear anything? Let me just see something.
You know what, Vince, he dropped out when you asked for it. I think she pressed the wrong button. Let's hold on a moment.
Okay. Well, I'll just keep talking here because I'm going to read this. Daphne, are you on the line?
I have not seen her, no.
No, okay. Let me know if you see her. All right. So this is when I was studying all this, this is what I discovered. Philip Dick had written, it was in his journal, and how closely it matched what Carla said. And, you know, I read it, you know, 10 years ago, and I put it aside. And then a few days ago, I happened to be having a conversation with my friend, Jillian, and I brought this out and read it, and it actually, I have to get through this, I hope, without getting, if I bite my tongue, it's because it brings tears to my eyes, and it might bring tears to some of your eyes, because
Can you hear me, Wynn?
I hear you now. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I got cut off. Yeah. I called back.
Yeah. You know what? Terry should teach you how to not let that happen, okay?
Do that, Terry.
Now, what I'm going to do is I'm going to read a paragraph, okay? Then I'm going to read another paragraph. I'm not going to read, this is deep. And it's like, for those of you, it's very literary and very sophisticated. And so I want to simplify it as we go to make sure no one misses it. Let's see what time it is right now. 7:41, so we have about 15 minutes. That should be enough time. And then I suggest that you look it up yourself on the internet. If it reaches you, it's just look up Philip K. Dick Elohim Exegesis, E-X-E-G-E-S-I-S. Because this is one of the things that triggered me out of doubt in saying, oh my God, this is real, this is important. And it's why I struggled for so many years to say, how do I get this out into the world? This is going to be meaningful to people. And if it wasn't for things like this, I don't think I would have endured. I would have gone and done something else. Now, I'll translate some words as we go, because there's some vocabulary words here that you're not going to understand. And you will in the content. The belief that we are pluriforms of God voluntarily descended to this prison world, voluntarily losing our memory, identity, and supernatural powers, all of which can be regained through anamnesis, or mystical conjunction. Now, pluriforms of God, he goes on, is actually his name for wanderers, that were part of God. We're part of the higher realms that voluntarily descended to the prison world, and we've gotten lost here. And then he used, Carly, you know the word anamnesis, right?
Yes, it just means the recalling or the regaining of memory of what mm-hmm. we've lost, either from incarnations before this, or simply from our total self.
Mm-hmm. Okay. But it is known, it is regarded as the great blasphemy, replication of the original sin mentioned in the first book of Adam and Eve and in Genesis. Now, you know, when I read that, Carla, I go unconscious. Are you familiar with the terminology great blasphemy?
Well, yeah.
Well, tell us, biblically, what is the great blasphemy? I think we lost Carla again. All right, let me keep going. For this pride and aspiration, our original fall and exile and punishment are being taken from our home, garden land, and put into the prison was inflicted on us. They wish to be equal to, like us, the Elohim say, and toss us down. Yet I have reason to believe that this, the great satanic blasphemy, is true. Now, I was hoping Carla would interpret that, and she'll be on later. The idea is, I believe, that there is this illusion that we have sinned, and we are here because we sinned, and we have to redeem ourselves from our sins. And the fact of the matter is, we volunteered to come here, and in the volunteering, we couldn't help but get involved in the negative aspects of this realm. This is Wynn talking now. And that through that getting involved...
Okay, I'm back. You want me to talk about Adam and Eve, or have you gone further?
I'll go further. Do you know why you're dropping off?
No. Well, tell me why.
It's probably because there's too much energy on the line.
Well, there's nothing I can do about that.
Right, right. Okay, so I was talking about the satanic blasphemy and the idea that we suffer in this realm because we've sinned. And in fact...
And that, you know, that's what I was going to say, was that anybody that's come up in the church has had little drilling in the fact that we are sinful. We are sinful by nature. We can't help being sinful. We can't help erring. And so in that context, the great hero in the garden was the snake, because the snake came in and cast light onto Eve. And she realized that she was more than a sinful person. She could learn. She wanted to learn. And that turning to the light meant that, well, what were the ministers of the church going to have left if we all think that we're pluriforms of God, if we all think that we're little sparks of the divine, if we think we're already there and all we have to do is remember? That won't work. That won't work for the church. So that's the great blasphemy.
Now, what I see is that those of us who descended into this realm didn't come out like saying, hey, we're here, guys. Are you ready? We descended from heaven. They got into the most foulest, darkest stuff, not knowing what they were into because their minds were blank. And because they went through this, they got the wisdom over many, many lifetimes to figure out how it works and to pay back, you know? But it's not the
end. Can you imagine the pain that people have gone through and are going through because they feel so doggone guilty?
Yes.
For everything.
I mean,
they feel like they're under judgment all the time. I mean, it's really...
Yeah.
It's a tough room, you know?
Those people on the line now, when you're going through tough times, you know, don't make yourself wrong and feel guilty, because it's actually built into your system to think that you could be great heroes. And maybe you won't be a hero this lifetime, you'll be a hero next lifetime. This is part of learning how the dark works so that you can stay out of it. Let me keep going here. First, we are here voluntarily. We did not sin, and we were not punished. We elected to descend. Why? To infuse the divine into the lowest strata of creation in order to halt its decomposing, the sinking of the lower realm. Okay, and what that's saying is that our realm, this realm, was breaking off from all that is and was getting totally separated, that the beings here were going to be lost to the dark, and that we decided to come into this realm to help stop that. Mm-hmm. It's a primordial crisis in creation. And I'm not going to, let's see. If Godhead itself falling apart into its yin and yang halves, with the lower form universe as God expressed physically in time and space, the solution was for the divine, the yang, the light form, to follow the lower realm down, permeating it, and thus reuniting the cosmos into one totality. To do this, elements of light advanced, descended into the dark kingdom, the immutable prison world. And upon doing so, they shed, and they knew what they would shed, their bright nature, their memory, their identity, their faculties, their powers, and fell under the dominion of the delusion that the dark kingdom is real, which when severed from the upper realm, it is not. The world we presently live in doesn't exist. There, they have lived as prisoners of the master magicians, the lords of the dark realm, who poses as the creator, and who may not even know of the light god, the true creator, his other half. But the light god and his pluriforms, the descending, invading sparks, have cunningly distributed clues in the dark realm to recall to the drugged and intoxicated sparks of light their true nature and their mission and their true source of home. Upon encountering these cryptic clues, the raw material was a cryptic clue, okay, in this realm. The David Wilcock Edgar Cayce was a cryptic clue, starting to put it all together. These cryptic clues, the forgetful sparks of the upper realm, now prisoners in and of the lower realm, remember, regain their powers and faculties, and link back up with the upper realm and the light god. They are the light god in pluriform, his way of invading the lower form in disguise. The light god, the divine, has now crucially occupied critical stations in the sinking lower realm and begins the re-annexing of it back into the totally composed of both realms. The sinking ceases, the master magician is stripped of his autonomy and assimilated to the yang part of Godhead as its passive counterpart, and once more there is one microcosm ruled by the yang, light god, assisted by the now receptive yin, dark side. The divine has triumphed at all levels. The prison has burst, and the vast, light-filled garden kingdom restored as the home of all creatures. These now whole creatures, composed equally of yin and yang, are what I term homeoplasmates. The yin part is home, and the light or the yang part is the plasmate, or energy part, versus the physical. Thus renewed and complete microcosms, mirroring the renewed and complete macrocosm, are achieved. That means what's above matches what's below. Reality is imparted to the otherwise irreal lower realm, and the upper realm now extends physically into the realm of matter. The integrity of the Godhead is restored, its two halves function in harmony, and the primordial split or crisis is revolved and healed. I have read the above cosmology over and over and find no fault in it. In fact, I am amazed. It is a sense a cosmic and certainly Gnostic, but the Taoist overlay is novel and pleasing. This is all highbrow, sophisticated. You don't have to understand this.
It's all Philip Dick saying this. This isn't...
This is Philip Dick, yeah. The Taoist overlay redeems it from the flaws of conventional dualistic thinking, religions, and the problems therein. The lower realm sinks not because it is corrupt or evil or somehow has rebelled, but because it is the nature of yin to sink, that is the nature of yang to rise. The pre-Socratics, those people who were around before Socrates, were aware of this. The model of the winnowing fan and the concept of the vortex. Yang must assimilate yin to keep the totality intact. Yang must renounce its natural tendency to rise and must descend. It cannot expect yin to rise because yin is not wise. It is only nous, and I don't know what that word means, N-O-O-S, that can understand that it must compensate against its own natural tendencies and do what is unnatural to it. Yin, so to speak, thick, unthinking, not noose, and then it has in parenthesis, mind, and then descending into the yin realm is a sacrifice on yang's part, which through its bright or wise nature, it realizes it must make. But it pays a great cost in terms of suffering, loss of memory and identity, abilities and faculties. It becomes pseudo-yin, literally disguised in the yin realm as if it were actually yin, even to the point of forgetting, until reminded, that it is not. This is the agony we face here in this irreal and dense yin realm. We yang traces. This is not our home. We are voluntary exiles here. alienated and alone, violating our own natures for a salvific purpose, a necessary purpose. Yin would not understand this, and until anamnesis sets in for us, we, in our distress, do not understand the reason either. Eventually, it will be revealed to us. Meanwhile, we ache with longing for our proper home, dimly remembered but deeply felt for. Thus, we suppose we are being punished. It feels like punishment, and we make the error of assuming we have sinned. On the contrary, we have renounced joy. Okay, here goes. Straightened up wind. On the contrary, we have renounced joy now to produce greater joy later for the good of all creation. We are the Godhead itself, suffering the need to be what it is not, to ensure the ultimate stability of the universe, the unity of love. And moral, it is the ethical requirement placed on the young traces by their own bright nature to abandon their natural tendency to rise, to escape what is heavy and dark and sinking. They must go in pursuit of the falling part of the cosmos for the benefit of those and that which otherwise would be lost. This is the highest law, to violate one's own nature for another's good, and the most difficult and painful law to fulfill. Because of this need, there is distress in the cosmos, distress for the innocent especially. My cosmology simply presents it as fact. To escape it, we would have to allow the cosmos to decompose. Could we do that? The tragedy is, by the very nature of the sacrifice we make, we are occluded from knowing why. This is part of our sacrifice, our yang understanding. We must take on the dullness of yin to save the cosmos. We sacrifice the knowledge of why we sacrifice and assume guilt, spurious guilt, in its place. This is asking a lot. But consider who we really are, or once were and will.
I
guess when you dropped out.
Oh, there you are.
This is high.
Dial in again. Crisis, by the way, just means make sure.
I want to say thanks to all those people who joined in through BBS, because BBS is leaving us.
Keep in mind, this was a replay.
Let me go check out.
BBS did not leave.
Bring some tissues.
On the replay.
Yeah.
And I don't know.
Thank you very much for being here, Carla.
It's been a delight.
Hello?
Yes, Vin.
I went.
I dropped out, right?
Yes.
Did I drop out before I read all of that, or before?
Yes, you dropped out in the middle.
Oh, my God. Well.
No. Only a minute ago.
I think it was somewhere around, but consider who we really are. It was real close to the end.
Well, you know what? Hang on.
Can't hear you again.
Vin, we cannot hear you. Yeah, now you are.
Hello?
Yes, we hear you now.
Can you hear me now?
You're there.
Okay. All right. Well, you know what? We don't have time to reread what we lost. Although, if you want to stay on the phone line, I'll reread it. And then we're going to do something special with Carla on the phone line. And if you're listening on BBS, we're going to wish you good evening, and thank you for being here. And we'll see you Wednesday.
And again, I'm going, when we do a mail out on this, I'm going to post on the Spirit Channel the text of that whole thing so you can read it. And it actually, as it comes to an end, it really, I am going to read it on the phone line for those that are still here. And I'm going to unmute everybody.
I will be so upset.
And we'll see you next time. Can you guys hear me? Hello?
Yes.
Hello.
Very powerful win. Thank you so much.
Hang out on the phone line for a little longer. Okay. Look away. And we have a special treat. If you're on CS, let's see it up. Thank you. Okay. Now, Carla, are you there?
I am.
I'll tell you what, I'm just going to read this last paragraph because this is, you know, this is like a poem. It builds to this dramatic point. And the point is, I mean, the point, just in my words, is that there's so many millions of people on this planet, and particularly many of those of us who resonate with this kind of material that we're presenting, who voluntarily chose to come into this realm knowing they would forget everything, and they did it as a huge sacrifice, getting retrapped in reincarnation, and until they could find something that would wake them up. And they did it because if they didn't, this realm would be lost. And it's only those beings that made that sacrifice that gives this realm the hope, the possibility of reuniting with the Yang, the greater light god in the universe. And Philip Dick's moral, it is the ethical requirement placed on the Yang traces by their own bright nature to abandon their natural tendency to rise, to escape what is heavy and dark and sinking. They must go in pursuit of the falling part of the cosmos for the benefit of those and that which otherwise would be lost. This is the highest law, to violate one's own nature for another's good, and the most difficult and painful law to fulfill. Because of this need, there is distress in the cosmos, distress for the innocent especially. My cosmology simply presents it as a fact. To escape it, we would have to allow the cosmos to decompose. Could we do that? The tragedy is, by the very nature of the sacrifice we make, we are occluded from knowing why. This is part of our sacrifice, our Yang understanding. We must take on the dullness of Yin to save the cosmos. We sacrifice the knowledge of why we sacrifice. An awesome guilt, spurious guilt in its place. This is asking a lot. But consider who we really are, or once were and will be again. Who else can do it?
No one else.
No one else. There is only Yin, which does not know. The part of the organism that knows must help the part that doesn't know. But this means abandoning its own knowing. It becomes what it helps, a dreadful irony, one that hurts. But it is only temporary, just for a little while, and then we go home for all eternity. And that's the end of that. And Carla, are you on?
I am. I just think he was brilliant to put that together. It sounds, as he noted, very much in some ways like the Gospel of John in the Bible, stating that the light came into the darkness and the darkness knew it not. But the darkness also could not do anything to remove it. And so the light remains. And we are children of the light if we believe in Jesus. Very similar in those points.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus himself often said, you know, you are heirs through hope of the Creator. You are children of God. You are sparks of the Creator. I give you the Holy Spirit. And that Spirit is with you until the end of the age. And that Spirit will be able to share with you the knowledge that you do not have. So ask for the Holy Spirit. Ask for its passion. Ask for its surety. And I think in whatever way we call upon the Spirit, if we can escape Christianity, fine. It doesn't matter. What matters is our awareness of who we are. We have come into the darkness. We are not the darkness. We are attempting, in our clumsy way, to lighten the darkness. And there is great joy in that service, and there is great suffering in that service. And I certainly can testify to that. But, oh, I would not change anything in my life, not one iota of it, because of the joy of knowing that you're actually helping. And I get letters every day, so, you know, I no longer have any question. I'm helping, okay, I get it. You know, so I just want to go on and keep on and be a part of this wonderful sacrifice that we all are a part of, so that we find out who we really are, or who we once were, as Dick says, and will be again. Who else can do it? There's no one else except us bozos. Isn't that funny? Isn't that ironic? And isn't it wonderful that we bozos can do this thing? And we can do it together, you know? That's the thing. We can't do it isolated from each other. Not really. We really have to know that everybody else is right there with us, or wants to be, and wants to know how. So the service is the imparting of information to help people get it, to help people begin their own walk in spirit.
And we are actually extensions of the divine in this realm.
Indeed.
And if not for us, who? That's what he's
so
saying.
Step up to the plate, humanity.
The plate.
Yeah.
Forget step up to the plate, humanity. Just step up to the plate, those of you who are listening and can integrate them. You don't have to feel guilty. You don't have to feel shame.
No, no.
It's not.
Just, if it appeals to you, grab onto it. And there are people to help you with that.
Right. Now, we have something special we're going to do, and I'm going to unmute people and see who wants to take a chance, but I'm not going to tell you what you're taking a chance for. Is that okay, Carla?
Oh. Well, it's okay, except that I was wanting to ask you if I could tell you the history of Rosie.
We are.
But if
we're going to
tell you the history of Rosie, then that'll spoil your surprise.
Right. So let's just have somebody say, somebody who thinks they need a lot of support and help. Somebody who's really going through it. And let me see.
All right. Sorry, I have to stop it here.
Oh, I just stopped it. Did you stop it, Jill?
Yeah, I did.
All right, we're just in time.
Wow.
God,
so
every time I hear that, it just touches me.
Mm-hmm. It's beautiful.
I don't know if you...
And... Go ahead.
It's time to leave. The whole planet is doing...
Unmuted.
One thing I wanted to say still is I happened to read a piece of a channeling yesterday wherein the Elohim spoke through Terry, and they clarified that
those from the Ra group that are volunteering here on planet Earth are called the Wanderers, and those from the Elohim group that are currently volunteering here on Mother Earth are called the Starseeds.
Right.
Just a clarification.
Did you guys? Did you guys track that? Did you follow it?
Yes. Awesome.
Yes. All right.
Hear that again.
Where's the listing of it that we can listen again and over and over?
It's on the Spirit Channel.
Uh-huh.
And the date of it is, if you go into archives,
okay.
The date of it is, let me see, what's the date?
So it was recorded on a Monday.
January 7th, 2013. So just go into 2013 and you'll find it on the archives, okay?
January 7th, 2013.
We got 1 minute till 8. EBS is going to cut us off. Whole Planet Healing. 712-770-4340. PIN 250-513. 250-513. And we'll see you there in a couple of minutes.
Thank you from Seattle.
Thank you all.
Thank you.
Thank you, Glenn.
We are joy, we are love.
Goodbye.